You know, I saw this story the other day.
Did you ever notice that? You know, sometimes I wonder what would happen if...
And now, Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
But today...
It's Britney, bitch.
You guys.
Tell me.
You guys make me feel like a million bucks.
This should always be your intro. Just it's
to
Britney
life.
Bitch.
Like I walk into the library.
It's Britney bitch.
Late fees. I found this book from 10 years ago. Okay. So I'm doing random thoughts, which I'm amazing at because that's my whole head. And
I love it.
The first thing I want to start off with is it's a mini flex, but not really because if obviously I can't brag about it. So I have a cousin who's a very good swimmer. It's Katie Ledecky, and she did the swimming with the chocolate milk on her head.
We posted that the other day.
And it's amazing. It's really cool. Well, I texted her mom, my aunt, Mary Jen, today because I was like, I'll find out some fun research behind the scenes for you guys.
Because this is for the Milk Got Milk campaign.
Yes, and she's big on, she's always been big on chocolate milk in general, always growing up. Like, that was like her thing.
Okay.
So she was excited to team up with them. Anyways, well, initially, here's the behind the scenes that nobody has, but the Lori and Julia show.
Thank you, Brittany.
The Milk folks wanted her to swim and carry it in one hand. And she said, why don't I just put it on my head and use a snorkel? And they said, well, you can try it. And she did it on the first try.
No way.
Because I even asked her, did she train for this? Was this something that they were like, hey, we want you to work on this? And she was like, okay. And they said that they were like, well, let's do two or three more takes for just in case. But the first one they used ultimately because it was the best one.
That's how smooth of a swimmer and doesn't move her head. And she went viral. Does she know that?
Oh, yeah. They know that. Yeah.
They do? Because that was... Everywhere.
Yeah.
Tuesday morning or Monday morning. I can't remember, but we were like, we were all on it. We'd all seen it. And we were like, the Today Show played it in GMA. Yeah. And it was just kind of amazing. And then we were like excited that the Got Milk campaign, because that's been the most successful campaign that Milk has ever done.
Absolutely. I don't want to brag, but her picture of wearing like her, what, 7 gold medals is on my grandma's desk. But then also my senior graduation photo is also, isn't that depressing? Like Brittany's accomplishment, Katie's accomplishment.
Oh, gosh. That's right. She has won 7 gold.
Yeah, it's crazy. So. Yeah. So that was kind of fun
That's
to hear
very
about.
Cool.
It's one of those things where, like, of course she did it on the first take, and of course it was a random idea, and of course
to put it on her head.
Of course.
Well, she's you know, right along that guy in The Real Housewives of New York, the little short guy that had 5 margaritas balanced on his head. It was incredible.
It was everything he brought out.
And on his head.
And he was short enough that it was right at table height.
Oh, my God.
You know, we all have gifts.
That's, I know.
Truly.
I've yet to find mine, but eventually I'll be right up there with her. Okay, this is kind of sad. So we're having a problem. Canada had a deal with China to have these 2 pandas, right? And the deal was they would keep supplying them with bamboo. With everything going on, they've been running out of bamboo.
In Canada.
So they've been delivering it from China. And they've had a little bit of a supply that they've been learning or growing on their own as like supplemental. Well, now they're having trouble getting any bamboo. And
those things eat a lot of bamboo,
like,
in a day.
99% of their diet, and they said 40 kilograms, which I'm not, I should have looked. It's insane.
It's a lot of wood.
It's sure
Thank
is.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank And so anyways, and I shouldn't laugh because honestly, they're freaking out. They're scared. They only have enough supply of bamboo to get them till September.
Oh, no.
I know. So now they're trying to get the pandas back, and they can't even get flights because they're worried about quarantine stuff with pandas and stuff like that to get them back to China.
Good
Otherwise,
Lord.
So the point of the story is if you have any extra bamboo,
Boo.
Send it to these 2 pandas. I'm very concerned. They're on my
radar.
Is
it Toronto? Where are these
I think it's Calgary.
Calgary, okay.
Of course, Calgary. Mm-hmm. Get it together. Okay, here's another bear story because I guess I was in a bear mood.
I like it.
Fun fact, bears are not billboards, Lori.
What does that mean?
You can't go putting your propaganda on bears.
Oh.
So they've been having a problem in North Carolina. They've got these bears with these big old trackers on,
okay.
Right? These big old collar trackers, right? And somebody's been putting a Trump 2020 sticker on them. And they have real, people have real feelings about this. And like, my thought was, like, I'm not going to judge, you know, what the bear believes in.
Right.
That's his choice.
Right.
We don't know if he's putting them on.
Right.
We don't know his thoughts.
Oh my gosh.
Also, like, if he's not literate, should we even worry that he's being, I mean, I think in out of all billboards, if you're, even if, let's say you're anti-Trump, he's being seen by the least amount of people.
That's very true.
So
it's a very strange way of getting your message out there.
I suppose whoever has the pro picnic basket platform, the bear is going to go with.
So this North Carolina group is very adamant about stopping whoever is tagging this bear. And I'm also kind of impressed the audacity or the
cojones?
Yes, to put a sticker on a, to get close enough to put a sticker on a bear.
I think that that bear had been tranquilized and it was probably the DNR bear guy that's
maybe
in charge of the tracking or
ooh,
gal that put it on there.
Now you're sounding like Cobra with your conspiracies. Yeah.
Welcome.
How else would they get it on?
You're
not going to run up to a bear and wrestle him to the ground to put your sticker on his bear collar.
But maybe it's one of those things, the old bait and switch. You're holding berries and bam.
Oh, geez.
I don't know. I think you're right. I think we'll all keep up. I'll keep us up to date on that one as well, because I think there's going to be all in all more and more stories with that. So here's a fun thing that they're doing in Italy.
All right.
So they have these wine windows. Now,
Holly showed us these yesterday.
Did she? Of course
she
did.
Okay, describe these.
First off, they're beautiful, but they originally existed back in the days of the plague when they had kind of to send things back and forth with minimal contact.
Ooh, coming in hot.
And now they're using them to send wine back and forth and sell wine through these beautiful little windows. Yes. So wine windows. Of course, me and Holly.
Wine windows and yoga bubbles.
Why not?
Yeah. New things are being invented or old things are being reused. I love it. Brittany,
love it.
Thank you.
You're so welcome.
All right. Listen, when we come back, I don't know. It's a chef's surprise.
Ooh, exciting. Let's do a little My Talk traffic before we get to that. There's a crash Highway 13 westbound.
Demi Lovato is in love. Brittany, did you see the photo of her at Nobu in her crushed velvet ruche dress?
Yes.
Oh, man. He loved everything about that. They're in hot lusty.
You think it's lust or
no,
lust?
No, they've been, I don't know how long they've been together, but it just is.
She seems so happy.
Yeah.
Like that kind of happy where, she's talking
over
about things she's never talked about too. Her documentary,
Was it good?
Yes. She was crazy.
The drugs?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And she at one point got on a plane and punched a dancer in the face.
Oh, I remember we were on the air. We talked about it.
Like, yeah. I mean, you got to be in a good place in your life. Here's the thing. We all have stuff, right?
Right.
And you have to be in a really good place in your life to be like, all right, let's talk about that stuff. So that's why I feel like she's in the best place she's been in a long time.
Right. Because didn't she go into rehab after that?
Oh, yeah. I think
that incident.
But
after that, because that had,
Oh, God. Yeah. And it was just like, ooh, and I love when people are that candid. I can't help but love them. So it's like one of those things where I was on the fence about her just in general. Like, I wasn't a huge fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I was like, I like you.
Cool.
I'm fine with
the
you.
The Go-Go's documentary was very candid like that.
And just love that, right?
We do love it when people confess warts and all.
Yeah, because it's like,
it's more relatable.
Absolutely.
Because who doesn't have a warts and all life?
Uh-huh.
You know?
Who hasn't punched a dancer after you get on a private plane?
Right.
Am I right?
Brittany, how do you feel about Gwyneth Paltrow?
I will always have love for her because of who she used to be.
Ah, that's a good answer.
She helped shape. Because, I mean, there was just, the spider web. What was it? Tangerine. Of course, Holly will know. The Tangerine. What was the album with the oranges on it?
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yes.
Oranges?
Yes.
I don't know. She was
Yes.
Gwyneth, who used to be married to Chris Martin.
Yes, I'm saying Goop. I always have love for her for that aspect. Yes.
Yeah, for who she used to be. So, anyway, I'm really glad you're here today because Julia hasn't been able to articulate what you did. She loves Gwyneth for who she used to be, and she's never been able to articulate that. So thank you.
And then I went
always
on a sidetrack.
She always gets uncomfortable sometimes when I just roll my eyes at how goopy group is.
Yes.
This week, first she did an interview with Cameron Diaz on like the Goop sessions. She's got a podcast or something, and she interviews her celebrity friends. And I mean, I tried to watch it, but watching those two,
it's so painful.
So boring.
Yes.
It's so boring watching them ask each other questions, pretending to be.
I know.
I mean, it just was bad. But she also wrote an essay in, I'm trying to think what
it was. Vogue UK.
Vogue UK. Okay. Thank you. So she writes an essay, and I decide to read it.
Yeah.
Why do I do this? I hate reading it.
Yes,
I
know. Yes. Content, Lori.
I'm not going to like what I'm reading. And it was like watching Ellen quarantined at home.
Yes,
those shows were just
terrible.
And then it was feeding into my secondhand dislike of Ellen that I had from my brother. Like, anyway, so I know, but I thought I'm going to read her essay.
Yeah.
I want to read it all in context.
And you read it all?
To call it overwrought is an understatement. But it was interesting because it was huge news when Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin broke up in 2014.
Yes.
I mean, they announced their conscious uncoupling.
Thank you. Yes, the conscious uncoupling.
On a Goop post.
Yes.
And then for months after that, there were stories about the sad state of affairs that had been their marriage for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember after they uncoupled, he quickly started dating Jennifer Lawrence.
Yes.
And I to this day believe Gwyneth made him break up with her.
Really?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. That's too much hotness for Gwyneth.
But could see that. But Dakota Johnson was just enough all right hotness.
Yes. And that came after, you know, Gwyneth had it. So anyway, so they broke up and then their divorce kind of dragged out.
Yeah.
For some time. And anyway, but their kids, they seem really great. And with like the kids seem well, like they've done a really great job, at least Chris Martin and Gwyneth.
Sheltering
seems like
them.
With their kids.
Yeah.
So anyway, in this essay, you know, she's writing about it's her 38th birthday and it's 2011 and she's in the Tuscan countryside.
Of course she is.
And she can't even remember what day, if it was a weekend or a weekend. Mm-hmm. So much Barolo had been, you know, imbibed and enjoyed. And she just said, I realized that my marriage was completely over. Now, this is 2011. They don't consciously uncouple until 2014.
Whoa. So you think
So and then she writes, basically, they tried everything over the course of the next 3 years to save their marriage. And she writes about this. Blah, like, what I do remember is it felt like the ring of the bell that sounded and cannot be entered. I mean, overwrought, you guys. The writing on this, they did not help her edit.
I feel like, you know who helped her edit? It was probably somebody like Lena Dunham.
Oh, maybe, because it goes on and on. And then
and you just stuck with it.
It became the trickle of truth became a dam of, it grew louder and louder until it was all I could hear. I mean, it's so overwrought. So here's the true story, though, to remember in reading this, and I'll get to the one other thing, is that both Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow had affairs while they were married.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was between 2011 and 2014 when the trickle
was
running in both of their ears. But she ended up marrying the guy that she had the affair with.
Mm-hmm.
And his marriage broke up.
Yeah.
And his two kids hated Gwyneth so much that they lived their first year of married life apart because the kids wouldn't live in the same house as Gwyneth. Okay?
It's not as rainbowy and sunshine as you initially probably want it to look.
Well, and so this is, I'm just putting that in because she's, you know, that maybe that happens. But then here's what she writes.
Is she right? Oh, my goodness.
She said, the public surprise gave way quickly to ire and derision. A strange combination of mockery and anger that I had never seen. I was already pretty tattered from what had been a rough year. Frankly, the intensity of the response saw me bury my head in the sand deeper than I ever had in my very public life. Okay. girl, you announced your breakup on your website to drive traffic to your website, and no one has been as harshly judged as you. That's absolutely correct. I mean, she's such a baby.
It's trying to rewrite everything.
Absolutely.
And it's just so funny because if she thinks that this long article, her you know, true critics of her life are going to be reading this enough to have empathy for her, it's like,
no.
Who's yes manning you so hard in your life right now?
That they didn't talk you out of this.
Exactly.
And then she writes that she does take credit for the uncoupling revolution, even though she heard about it from a therapist.
Thank you, Goop.
I hope Brad Falchuk knows what he signed up for, man.
Thank you, Goop.
Anyway, she did not have a good editor at British Vogue. This thing goes on and on and on. It would be a very hilarious SNL skit.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a Goop defender.
Yeah.
But that essay makes it so hard.
I bet. That's a full-time job now for you.
It must be exhausting thinking about yourself so much like that.
I know.
Just utterly exhausting. And at this particular moment in time and space and where we find ourselves.
Right. What nobody's thinking, I wonder how Goop's ex-husband in relationships do. Like,
what would be more relatable is that if she had just simply written, I realized I didn't really like him anymore. Yeah. We weren't even screwing. Yeah. I was having the desire to sleep with other people.
Absolutely.
And we decided, well, we'll try and work on it. But if she'd been.
You should have been her editor.
And I
slipped that all in there.
Of honesty about.
Absolutely.
About the breakup, and that is sometimes how people do finally come up with the I'm going to break up, is that one of them or two of you both start screwing somebody else.
Yeah.
And you realize, oh, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know what? To each their own. I have no judgment at all
behind that. That is a thing that sometimes has to be the, you know, the bed that breaks the marriage back
Did you watch The Goop Lab then over on Netflix?
I couldn't.
And that was actually
kind of
enjoyable, yeah. I wouldn't say she had a starring role in it, though.
She turned it over to other people.
Which was probably a very smart move.
Any quacks?
Julianne Hough, dry humping the air.
Oh, that's right. Remember that?
It was a bit much.
Yeah.
It was a bit much.
But not too quackery?
No, I think it was interesting. I think she did a deep dive in like the subcultures of things that I was like, that's interesting.
Okay, good.
So, yeah.
Anyway, so that's going on.
Quite goopy.
Here's a little Ryan Reynolds news. I don't know this, but it's a Universal movie, and it's a monster parenting comedy. Do you guys know about this? I don't know if it's based on a New Yorker essay called Everyday Parenting Trips. So it's going to be take place in a fictional world as the dad, Ryan Reynolds, handles everyday parenting challenges during what's called a monstrous uprising. And the essay is about a little kid who truly, truly, truly believes there's a monster under his bed. And the dad is like, here's all the ways we're going to rise and fight and beat the monster under your bed. It kind of sounds cute.
It sounds really cute.
Doesn't it?
Unique in a world that has been, you know, regurgitating so much of the same stuff. This actually sounds good.
Good. And his company is producing it. And I mean,
he's so good.
He's so good.
Like, so good. Like,
it's hard to believe he was ever married to Scarlett Johansson. They never fit. And he and Blake Lively just somehow
seemed so fun and cute.
They just were the oddest couple, weren't they? And then when I saw Alanis Morissette, because she's kind of been everywhere, her new album is supposed to be so great, I just always think, God, that one song that she wrote, I can't think of it, is about Ryan Reynolds.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
That those two hot Canadians were together.
He's so dang cute.
Yeah, he really is.
Like, he's the kind of cute you're like, oh.
All right. Listen, when we come back, it's time to Hollywood speak. This A-list musician, singer has been avoiding this one thing his whole life.
What are you trying to say?
Hollywood. Hollywood speaking.
What is the meaning of this?
All right, ladies. Sir Paul McCartney, in an interview with British GQ, was asked about Las Vegas.
Ooh.
And he said this. I don't know that we really can Hollywood speak it because he's really saying it off.
Pretty blunt.
He said, Vegas is where you go to die, isn't it? It's the elephant's Graveyard.
Ooh. B. Spears hit feels that. He's feeling that.
Yeah, the interviewer, you know, pressed him and said, well, Elton John, you know, used to say that about Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And he changed his mind on that. And then Sir Paul said, that's been something I've been trying to avoid my whole life, Las Vegas. I just thought, you know, maybe it is because if you think of Paul McCartney's age.
Yeah.
Vegas was to, like, would have been him for a guy in his 20s. Not a cool hip place.
That's where Wayne Newton does Donka Shane.
Yeah. It wasn't a cool thing in the 60s or 70s per se. It was cool Elvis's show.
Yeah.
People flocked in for that. There were periodic shows of things that would happen, but where you'd go and you'd play the lounge worker.
Yeah,
all that. I guess that's what he's mean. But yeah, I think Paul is just being representative of like a musician of his era. And in the 60s, you wouldn't have caught the Beatles anywhere near Las Vegas.
And even today, you know, I guess the Hollywood speak on that is that Paul McCartney thinks of himself as a person who's still constantly evolving in a way where he doesn't want to go out and play the greatest just the hits. But
nor does he need any money.
No. Yeah.
But man, that $1 million piano concert at Caesar's Palace with Elton John
was amazing.
It was amazing. It was incredible. And it's such an intimate venue. It's kind of a shame that Paul McCartney has such a bad attitude about it because it's a really good opportunity to see intimate concerts.
It really is. I mean, my last concert in Vegas was with Julia in March and David from First Equity. And we saw Bruno Mars on his first weekend of residency at the park from the fifth row. And it was a blast.
I bet it was amazing.
And, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I think, Kali, you're like right on that, that he's
thinking about what it used to be and what he doesn't want to repeat and repeat.
But nobody has that image of Las Vegas anymore.
No, not anymore.
No, they
don't.
It's
a dated thing. I mean, Cher's play. I've seen Cher there. She's amazing.
Yeah.
My mom and I saw the Judds when they reunited after 25 years.
I saw James Taylor at Caesar's Palace. Speaking of Paul McCartney and Apple, and it was a super intimate concert. I mean, it was the least Vegas concert I've ever been to in my life.
Yeah.
Right.
But still.
Yeah, I know. I know it is. It is kind of true. Okay, so here's a Hollywood speak. Kanye West pretty much admits his presidential campaign is designed to hurt Joe Biden's chances, even though I think he doesn't. I think if anybody hurts Trump.
I know, right? Yeah.
But he tweeted today he got the phone away from Kim at their estate that they're staying at in the Dominican Republic to tweet, the goal is to win. He must be the most exhausting man in the world to be married to right now.
If he keeps sneaking away and doing this, she's going to cut ties. There's no way she's going to stay with that. That brand of crazy is bad for business, and the Kardashians are never going to lean towards something that's bad for business. They're donezo. Give it a year, because now she's came out and said the mental health thing. She doesn't want to look bad like she's leaving somebody, you know, in their time of need.
Wouldn't one of the things that she'd be upset with him, not only about airing their nasty business, but also having this idea that somehow he has any chance at all of being elected or any of that. He's not on ballots. I mean, it makes no sense.
No.
The birthday party. To me, if he does that, that means you have to go along with all of that. It just, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I would just be done.
I think they've tried to like salvage what they could of it. And I think eventually, I think she just has to, now it's a waiting game of what's appropriate time to leave him. Don't you? I mean, don't you think that it's going to be, we're going to find out a year from now.
She's not going to be happy that he tweeted this afternoon. Oh, that the phone, the goal is to win.
She stole his phone.
And he also was, you know, I mean, he's actively like trying to get on different ballots in different states already. He's not in enough of them, so he could never in a remote chance ever win. But my gosh, it's like the reality train of all of this is too much.
I feel bad for him in a lot of ways.
But he could take his medication.
I know.
I know. Could be a grown up and say, I have to take my medication.
But it's also like a possibility, you know, the idea of surrounding yourself with people who are giving you the truth, not like this is a great idea. Who's, I would hope at this point.
He's been living in Wyoming. Yeah. He hasn't been in Calabasas.
No.
Kim lived with him for like 2 weeks and she's like, go.
Go. Go. Go to the range.
Because remember, they don't spend a lot of time together. Yeah. That's why there have been so many breakups. These rich people and that are artists or whatever they are, they're traveling. They're not together like you and I are together with our guys or gals, you know, when we have our regular.
For better or worse.
Right. I mean, we don't spend a lot of time apart. Like sometimes, like if I'm gone for a weekend without Casey, I'm like giddy. I'm like, you know.
Yeah. But
these guys are not used to spending time together.
And I think that's ideal for Kim, too, is like she's always going to be mostly married to herself. So,
yeah,
good for her. Yeah, that's a long, healthy relationship.
That's true. That's very true. OK, Mike Tyson, you know, Shark Week starts. It's later this year. Usually it's in July, but it starts on Sunday night. And Shark Week, you know, the thing they've been promoting, Mike Tyson versus Jaws, the Rumble on the Reef.
Isn't it
so hysterical? Here's what Mike has to say. He said, I'm scared of anything in the water. I won't even put my foot in the water. I had to do this prep in stages. And he's in a cage. And he said, I was scared.
Do you remember, was it last year, 2 years ago, when they had Michael Phelps swim with race? Yeah. And so I think they're just, oh, God, that's so endearing. I mean, I'm scared of water.
I know.
I had to do this in stages. Like, that is...
Do you think you get paid, Holly, to be in a Shark Week program?
Oh, totally.
Oh, you do?
I would think so. This is not coming from the kindness of Mike Tyson's heart. No, but it is fun that he has come to that point where he can kind of play with his persona.
Yes.
And that he is in on the fun and on the joke.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I am going to DVR this.
I'm going to watch it. I watched the Michael Phelps one, and it was dumb.
It was good. It was so dumb.
You never apologize for your Shark Week fandom. You watched that Josh Duhamel Shark Week movie a couple summers ago.
Sure did.
Did you guys watch Sharkano, the National Geographic thing that was on like last week?
No.
About the sharks. They went to some active volcano that's not actively blowing, got a camera down in the volcano crater, and there's all kinds of sharks swimming in the hot water. Sharkano. I'm giving the Sharknado people their next idea.
I mean, it's already written.
A sharkoozy.
Yeah, it's called Sharkano. There's an actual documentary about these sharks that live in the hot water in the volcano that hasn't blown up.
Add Tara Reid, movie's done. Done.
You go.
You're welcome. I'm sure she's not busy.
Yeah, oh my gosh. All right, listen, when we come back, oh my gosh, all we have to say is WAP. Mm-hmm.